Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we turn our attention to Crime and Punishment, a monumental piece of Russian literature penned by Fyodor Dostoevsky in 1866. This gripping novel takes us into the troubled mind of a young man named Rodion Raskolnikov, whose narrative begins with plotting and culminates in the murder of an elderly pawnbroker. The story then delves into the psychological turmoil and moral dilemmas following his heinous act. Known for its emotional depth and complex philosophical underpinnings, this novel has profoundly influenced a myriad of writers, thinkers, and artists around the globe. Fyodor Dostoevsky, an iconic figure in Russian literature, authored other noted works such as The Brothers Karamazov, The Idiot, and Demons, which too have left an indelible mark on various global intellectuals, including Anton Chekhov, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, and Ernest Hemingway, along with philosophers like Friedrich Nietzsche, Jean-Paul Sartre, and Albert Camus. Crime and Punishment is a must-listen for fans who enjoy Russian literature's rich narratives. Individuals enthralled by stories of mental conflict and moral dilemmas, and philosophy enthusiasts intrigued by existential themes. This episode promises to explore the depths of Raskolnikov's tumultuous journey and the broader implications of his actions. Crime and Punishment, a philosophical masterpiece on the boundaries between good and evil. Introduction. A dark night, a desperate decision. On a sweltering July evening, Rodion Raskolnikov, a young man entangled in his tumultuous thoughts, steps out of his cramped St. Petersburg apartment. His heart races not just from the oppressive heat, but from a brewing plan that promises to alter his life forever. He dodges his landlady, a woman whose very presence unnerves him, yet his mind is consumed by something far more intimidating than her. Fyodor Dostoevsky sets the stage in Crime and Punishment not by revealing Raskolnikov's dark intention right away, but rather by drawing us into the psychological labyrinth that leads to it. It's soon revealed that his disturbing mission is to commit a murder. This tale, however, transcends the boundaries of a typical mystery. It's less about the act of murder itself, and more about the harrowing why behind it. Through gripping narrative and deep psychological exploration, Dostoevsky challenges us to understand the motives that can drive a seemingly ordinary person to the brink of such an irreversible act. The scenes that unfold in Crime and Punishment are not just chronicles of a crime, but a profound exploration into the human psyche, examining the moral wrestlings and the spiritual consequences that follow. Through the eyes of Raskolnikov and the vivid cast of characters he encounters, we plunge into a narrative that is as philosophically rich as it is psychologically compelling. Part 1. A Troubled Mind in a Troubled City. Rodion Raskolnikov steps out into the stifling heat of a St. Petersburg summer, his tormented soul mirroring the oppressive atmosphere of the bustling city. His dark eyes dart around, reflecting a mind caught in a turbulent storm of conflicting thoughts. Living in a cramped apartment no bigger than a closet has done little to soothe his disquiet. As he roams the hectic streets, Raskolnikov engagingly converses with himself, revealing the depths of his tortured philosophy. Humans could achieve greatness if they only dared to shed their inherent cowardice. The greatest fear, he muses, is not of failure, but of stepping into the unknown and voicing unconventional thoughts. Carefully, we're drawn into the murky specifics of his plan, which Dostoevsky reveals is not just any ordinary undertaking, but a rehearsal for a heinous act. Raskolnikov's pace leads him directly, precisely 730 steps, to a dilapidated tenement housing the apartment of an old pawnbroker, Alyona Ivanovna, whom he has previously encountered. His planned victim is none other than this sharp-eyed, bitter old woman, whom he visits under the pretense of pawning a watch. Inside her apartment, Raskolnikov's attention to detail is acute. He meticulously notes the room's layout and the placement of objects, all elements critical for when it happens. The pawnbroker, true to her reputation, cheats him on the transaction, heightening the tension between them before Raskolnikov departs, hinting at a return visit soon. Following his departure, Raskolnikov's mental turmoil intensifies. His walk is erratic, his mind a battleground of revulsion and resolve. Overwhelmed by his own thoughts, he exclaims his loathing and doubts about whether he can proceed with his dreadful plan. Seeking some solace or perhaps escape, he inadvertently finds himself at a tavern, an unfamiliar environment that beckons with the promise of numbing company. Here, Raskolnikov encounters Marmeladov, a destitute clerk whose tale of downfall through alcohol and despair adds another layer of darkness to the narrative. Marmeladov's story is a tragic one, culminating in his daughter Sonia turning to prostitution to sustain their family. The retelling of their suffering strikes a chord in Raskolnikov, compelling him to extend a helping hand, even amidst his own destitution. Dostoevsky uses these interactions to paint a portrait of Raskolnikov as a man divided. The Russian word raskolnik, meaning schism, hints at his dual nature, cold and calculating on one hand, yet capable of profound empathy and generosity on the other. It is clear that he is no mere criminal mind, but a deeply conflicted soul grappling with his philosophical ideals and stark reality. This segment also underscores the potential noxious influence of the urban environment on one's psyche, a theme Dostoevsky explores deeply, reflecting his complex relationship with St. Petersburg. The cramped spaces, poverty, and overwhelming city life contribute significantly to Raskolnikov's mental disarray, shaping his philosophical musings about courage, new steps, and radical actions. Through Raskolnikov's internal conflicts and his interactions with figures like Marmeladov, Dostoevsky sets the stage for an exploration of moral conscience in the face of desperate circumstances. Part 2. The Descent into Darkness. A troubled night precedes the ominous day that will mark a permanent scar on Rodion Raskolnikov's conscience. With thoughts swirling violently in his head, he abandons the idea of visiting a university friend, opting instead to brace himself for the chilling act he is about to commit. In a moment of overwhelming anxiety, Raskolnikov seeks refuge in a tavern, where he gulps down a glass of vodka that swiftly blurs his senses, leading him to a fitful sleep among the bushes outside. In his sleep, Raskolnikov is transported back to his childhood village, where he encounters a scene that would traumatize any tender heart. He sees a horse, frail and beleaguered, being mercilessly beaten by a group of drunken peasants, led by a man named Mikolka. The violence escalates as Mikolka insists it's his right to treat the horse as he wishes, even if that means beating it to death. Young Raskolnikov's reaction is visceral. He rushes to embrace the dying horse, a stark portrayal of his inherent compassion, despite the encroaching darkness within him. This vivid nightmare shakes Raskolnikov to his core, awakening him to the horror of the violence he is about to perpetrate. Good God! Can it be, he wonders aloud, that I shall really take an axe, that I shall strike her on the head, split her skull open? The stark reality of his murderous plan lays bare in front of him, yet he moves forward as though driven by a force beyond his control. As evening draws, Raskolnikov takes the treacherous 13 steps from his apartment, his resolve chillingly solidified by the theft of an axe from the building's kitchen. He arrives at the pawnbroker Alyona Ivanovna's apartment with a chilling calmness. Offering a silver cigarette case as a distraction, he waits until she turns her back before he brutally attacks her with the axe, striking repeatedly until her life is extinguished. But the horror does not end with the pawnbroker. As Raskolnikov rifles through Alyona's belongings, the unexpected arrival of her sister, Lizaveta, triggers a panicked reaction. Facing the innocent gaze of the unintended witness, Raskolnikov delivers another fatal blow, snuffing out Lizaveta's life almost reflexively. This murder, unintended yet equally gruesome, leaves a deep mark on Raskolnikov, embedding the realization of his monstrous capabilities. Under the weight of what he has done, Raskolnikov flees the scene in a haze of fear and confusion. He washes the blood from his hands and the axe, trying desperately to cleanse himself of the deed. The stark dichotomy of his actions is evident in his profound dream, where his younger self's empathy for the suffering horse contrasts sharply with his present self's capacity for cold-blooded murder. The killing of Valiona, a task he carried out with a mechanical dispassion, stands in stark contrast to Lizaveta's murder, which forces him to confront the human cost of his actions. The innocence in Lizaveta's eyes as she faced her murderer grounds Raskolnikov's philosophical justifications for his actions in a harrowing reality, revealing the devastating impact of his deeds not only on his victims, but on his own soul. Part 3. Confronting the Shadows Within. The shadows of guilt haunt Rodion Raskolnikov in the wake of his brutal crime. As night gives way to dawn, a feverish delirium grips him, every detail of the murder replaying in his mind's eye. The morning light brings no solace, only the stark realization of his unchecked door, the unhidden stolen items, and his unchanged clothes. Doubt and fear seep into his thoughts, whispering the haunting question, is he losing his sanity? Is this the beginning of his punishment? The same day, an unexpected summons drags Raskolnikov to the police station, stirring a cocktail of paranoia and relief when he learns the visit is merely about his debts to his landlady. His interaction with Officer Ilya Petrovich Zametov is erratic. His response is tinged with defiance and delirium. Amid the questioning, a profound alienation takes root in Raskolnikov. He realizes with chilling clarity that his crime has severed him from humanity, isolating him in a self-imposed exile of the soul. In a mechanical attempt to erase traces of his deed, Raskolnikov buries the stolen goods under a stone in a deserted courtyard. Relief momentarily touches him, but it's quickly chased away by a storm of emotions: joy, confusion, repulsion. As he wanders the streets of St. Petersburg, he unknowingly finds himself at the doorstep of his friend Razumihin, the visit he had deferred till after the crime. Inside Razumihin's house, Raskolnikov's emotions churn into a frenzy. Despite seeking out Razumihin's company, he finds himself overwhelmed by an urge to flee, to retreat further into his solitude. Razumihin, perceptive yet perplexed by his friend's erratic behavior, tries to draw him back, offering him work and a semblance of normalcy. But Raskolnikov is too far gone. His internal chaos mirrors the turmoil that led to the horrific murders. That night, as Raskolnikov succumbs to a heavy, fitful slumber, the boundary between nightmare and reality blurs. Days fade into a feverish haze, marked by visions that dance dangerously between delusion and clarity. The psychological torment of his actions becomes as palpable as any physical imprisonment. This painful self-awareness starkly contrasts with Razumihin's character, his name echoing the Russian word for reason. Razumihin represents the path Raskolnikov might have taken, had reason prevailed over his darker impulses. Though Raskolnikov initially pushes Razumihin away, their encounters hint at a deep, almost desperate longing for connection, for a return to a life not shadowed by murder. In this haunting narrative, Dostoevsky delves deep into the psychology of punishment, exploring not only the external consequences of Raskolnikov's actions, but the intense internal conflict that wages war within his soul. Through Raskolnikov's struggle, Dostoevsky poses a timeless question: can one ever truly isolate themselves from humanity without catastrophic repercussions to their own essence? Razumihin's continued efforts to reintegrate Raskolnikov suggest that redemption, though fraught with its own challenges, might still be within reach amidst the punishing shadows of guilt. Part 4. Seeking Salvation in the Aftermath of Chaos. Emerging from a tumultuous delirium, Rodion Raskolnikov steps out into the bustling streets of St. Petersburg, a city that now mirrors his internal chaos. His interactions with passers-by are erratic and driven by an unspoken desperation. Soon, he finds himself in the Palais de Cristal Café, where fate, or perhaps his subconscious, brings him face to face with Zametov, the head police clerk. In a bewildering conversation laced with bravado and irony, Raskolnikov teases the edges of confession. His words dance dangerously close to an outright admission as he describes, with unsettling precision, how the murders might have been executed. Though his claims are framed as hypotheticals, they plant seeds of suspicion in Zametov's mind. Yet, with a mocking smile and a dismissive assurance, Raskolnikov veers away from a real confession at the last moment. Driven by an inexplicable compulsion, Raskolnikov's wanderings then lead him back to the scene of his grim deed, Alyona Ivanovna's apartment. Now, in the hands of redecorating workmen, the space feels alien yet hauntingly familiar. Overcome by a near-delirious curiosity about the bloodstains that once marked the crime scene, he is brusquely thrown out, his questions unanswered, his turmoil unresolved. Standing at a literal and metaphorical crossroads, Raskolnikov contemplates surrendering to the authorities. His gaze scans the surroundings, seeking perhaps a sign or a push towards confession. It is at this critical juncture that fate intervenes once more, steering him away from the police station and towards a crowd gathered around the tragically familiar figure of Marmeladov, now fatally injured by a carriage. In the poignant chaos that follows, Raskolnikov finds himself in the presence of Marmeladov's grieving family. The somber scene is punctuated by the entrance of Sonia, Marmeladov's daughter, whose appearance, a stark contrast of gaudy attire and a timid, pale visage, belies her inner turmoil. As her father breathes his last, Raskolnikov, moved by the profound familial sorrow, impulsively offers financial aid for the funeral, a gesture driven as much by a need for redemption as by genuine compassion. Returning home, Raskolnikov wrestles with his actions. He swings between self-congratulation for his generosity and a deeper, gnawing recognition that such acts cannot erase or redeem his earlier, darker deeds. His interactions with the Marmeladov family, particularly with Sonia, hint at the beginnings of a transformative journey. Despite her societal position as a prostitute, Sonia's inherent dignity and the symbolic weight of her name, Sofia or Wisdom, suggest that she might hold the key to Raskolnikov's ultimate salvation. As Raskolnikov navigates the aftermath of his actions, the narrative deepens into a compelling exploration of guilt, redemption, and the possibility of moral recovery. Through encounters that challenge his isolation and self-centered despair, Raskolnikov is confronted with the harsh truth that real atonement might demand much more than he is prepared to give. Still, in the shadows of his conflicted soul, the flickering possibility of redemption through Sonia's guidance begins to take root. Part 5. Navigating the Moral Labyrinth. Raskolnikov, with forced laughter echoing hollowly, as a facade for his inner turmoil, steps into Porfiry Petrovich's apartment. This setting, the abode of the head of the investigation department, isn't just any place, but a chessboard where psychological games unfold. Accompanied by his friend Razumikin, Raskolnikov's visit is ostensibly about reclaiming pawned possessions, yet undercurrents of a deeper, more perilous dialogue swirl around them. Porfiry, astutely observant and keenly intelligent, not once lets his gaze waver from Raskolnikov. His penetrating stare and pointed questions hint at an unspoken knowledge, perhaps an inkling of the truth behind Raskolnikov's nervous jests. Porfiry's knowledge of Raskolnikov isn't just superficial. He has engaged with his intellectual fabric, having read Raskolnikov's provocative article on crime published months prior. The conversation veers into philosophical territory, with Porfiry recalling Raskolnikov's audacious claim, "Some individuals surpass the common fold of humanity." These extraordinary men, according to Raskolnikov, possess the right to overstep moral boundaries if such transgressions benefit humanity or fulfill grand transformative ideas. He draws a hypothetical. If Newton had needed to sacrifice lives for his scientific breakthroughs, his genius would grant him that grim privilege. As Raskolnikov departs from Porfiry's scrutinizing presence and returns to the solitude of his room, A fever grips him, not of the body, but of the mind. His interactions with Porfiry have stirred a cauldron of self-doubt. The theory of the extraordinary man he once penned now mocks him through his present anguish. Was Aliona's life a justifiable forfeit for his supposed greatness? The philosophical underpinning of Raskolnikov's article, On Crime, echoes through the novel, intertwining with the conceptualizations of Nietzsche's Übermensch, the superman who would transcend the moral quandaries of ordinary existence. Both Dostoevsky and Nietzsche grapple with nihilism and its implications. However, Dostoevsky's portrayal serves as a critique, a caution against the dehumanizing potential of such philosophical radicalism. For Nietzsche, the Übermensch symbolized an evolutionary leap, a creator of new values in the moral vacuum left by the death of God. For Dostoevsky, this figure, as embodied in Raskolnikov, represents a perilous misstep. Raskolnikov's intellectual justification for murder, his attempted ascension to extraordinary status, inevitably clashes with the innate moral boundaries of his humanity. In the quiet of his room, as Raskolnikov reels under the weight of his actions and the philosophical doctrines he once espoused, Dostoevsky crafts a narrative that scrutinizes the dangerous junctions of theory and action, intellect and morals. Here stands Raskolnikov, caught in a moral labyrinth, his theories crumbling under the relentless gaze of his conscience, underscoring Dostoevsky's forewarning of a philosophy untethered from ethical humanity. Can one truly align with Nietzsche's ideal? Or is the human soul intrinsically bound to a moral compass, however one might rationalize to the contrary? Part 6. Redemption Through Connection. In the dreary landscape of St. Petersburg, Raskolnikov makes his way to Sonia's modest apartment, seeking solace after a tense discourse with his family and Razumihin. Sonia, ever the epitome of compassionate virtue, appears distressed as Raskolnikov probes into the well-being of her mother, Katerina Ivanovna. Sonia's features, clouded with what seems like an insatiable compassion, mirror her deep-seated pain and an almost desperate need to defend her mother, despite her evident madness. Raskolnikov's mention of Sonia's younger sister, Polenka's potential grim future as a prostitute, draws a vehement reaction from Sonia. She clings fervently to her faith, asserting that a divine force would prevent such a fate, showcasing a stark contrast to Raskolnikov's skepticism about the existence of God. Observing Sonia's devoutness, Raskolnikov internally dismisses her spirituality as a contagion he fears might soon infect him. Yet, it is Sonia who Raskolnikov asks to read aloud the story of Lazarus from the New Testament, which to Sonia symbolizes a narrative of resurrection and hope, mirroring her own life's struggles. The emotional session leaves Raskolnikov confessing his severed ties with his family, stating that now only Sonia remains integral in his life. He begs her to join him on an undefined journey, sharing a path he believes they both tread, a path of transgression and redemption. Raskolnikov's subsequent visit post the Marmeladov's funeral banquet is even more pivotal. As he sits beside Sonia in her room, his revelation about being the murderer of Lizaveta comes as a horrifying shock to her. Yet Sonia's reaction is not one of revulsion, but of a profound despair mixed with a commitment to stay by his side. She assumes a role that is almost redemptive, insisting on shared suffering and a communal bearing of their crosses, signifying a journey towards atonement. Sonia, the saintly figure despite her profession, emerges as a beacon of unconditional love and forgiveness. Her character challenges the societal norms and human judgments about morality and virtue. To Raskolnikov, who is tormented by his intellectual arrogance and moral conflicts, she offers a path to salvation that contrasts his nihilistic ideologies. In a deeply symbolic gesture, Sonia shares her cross with Raskolnikov, embodying the novel's exploration of suffering as a pathway to spiritual awakening. Dostoevsky frames her not just as a symbol of enduring faith, but as a powerful catalyst for Raskolnikov's potential transformation. It's through her unwavering belief and the ideal of shared redemption that Raskolnikov is forced to confront his own inner turmoil and decay. Sonia and Raskolnikov's intertwined destinies showcase a profound narrative of fall and redemption, with Sonia's character embodying the possibility of rising above one's circumstances through faith and compassion. As they decide to face the consequences together, the story of Lazarus serves not only as a beacon of hope for Sonia, but perhaps a tentative promise of rebirth for Raskolnikov too. In doing so, Dostoevsky sets a narrative stage where divine grace and human fallibility interlace, suggesting that redemption, though wrought with sacrifice, remains within reach for even the most troubled souls. Part 7: A Journey Towards Redemption. After a profound inner turmoil, Raskolnikov decides to confess to his crimes, a decision that propels him on a poignant farewell tour. He visits key people in his life, his mother, sister, and finally Sonia. It is with Sonia that he shares a particularly transformative moment. She gives him a cross, and they pray together. Though foreign to his rationalist mind, Raskolnikov is moved by the ritual. With a heavy heart, he proceeds towards the police station, but detours through the Haymarket where he follows Sonia's advice, a symbolic gesture of submission. There, overcome with a surge of emotions, he bows and kisses the earth, an act that unfortunately gathers mockery rather than understanding from the bystanders. Undeterred and strengthened by Sonia's faithful presence nearby, Raskolnikov continues to the police station, where he almost falters at the last hurdle. Yet, the sight of Sonia's anxious face spurs him on. With a fragmented smile and trembling lips, he confesses to the double murder to Zametov, the head clerk. Fast forward 18 months, and Raskolnikov finds himself in a Siberian prison, a vast, cold landscape that starkly contrasts the claustrophobic alleys of St. Petersburg. Despite his incarceration, Raskolnikov initially remains unrepentant, clinging to the intellectual justifications for his earlier deeds. Yet, Sonia's unwavering support persists. Her frequent visits to his prison window symbolize a beacon of hope. The narrative reaches a climactic emotional breakthrough when Raskolnikov and Sonia finally meet in the prison yard. In this moment, overwhelmed by the gravity of his journey and Sonia's unrelenting kindness, Raskolnikov weeps and embraces her feet, a gesture of submission and repentance. Sonia responds with compassion, recognizing the depth of his transformation. This moment marks an epiphany for Raskolnikov, shifting from the intellectual to the emotional, from isolation to connection. For Dostoevsky, the path to redemption for Raskolnikov involves not only acknowledging his crimes to society through his confession, but also reconnecting with humanity and divinity, symbolized by his profound interaction with Sonia and the earth. The Siberian exile serves as both a literal and metaphorical cleansing of his past sins, offering a stark, open space for contemplation and eventual redemption. Raskolnikov's acceptance of Sonia's love and her spiritual beliefs signifies the beginning of his true transformation. The story concludes on a nuanced note of redemption in progress, highlighting that Raskolnikov's journey towards complete atonement is ongoing and perhaps a tale for another time. Through the interplay of guilt, retribution, and love, Dostoevsky explores the complex dynamics of redemption, suggesting that it is a personal and often arduous journey that ultimately leads back to the core of human connection and spiritual awakening. Final summary. In the claustrophobic alleys of St. Petersburg, a young law student named Rodion Raskolnikov commits a crime that shakes the foundations of his beliefs and ethics. Driven by a deluded notion that murdering an old pawnbroker will confirm his superiority as an extraordinary man, Raskolnikov plunges into moral and psychological chaos. The crime, committed with an axe, takes a darker turn when he's compelled to also kill the pawnbroker's innocent sister, who inadvertently becomes a witness. This heinous act, which occurs early in the novel, sets the stage for an intense scrutiny of Raskolnikov's internal turmoil. The bulk of the narrative explores his struggle with guilt and paranoia, spiraling him into bouts of delirium and a profound isolation that borders on madness. As he navigates his conflicted emotions, Raskolnikov is consistently drawn to Sonya, a prostitute whose life of suffering and self-sacrifice starkly contrasts with his philosophical justifications for murder. Sonya becomes a beacon of hope and moral guidance, embodying virtue and redemption in the midst of despair. Her influence and unwavering support play a crucial role in steering Raskolnikov toward the path of confession. The novel culminates with Raskolnikov's surrender to the authorities, a decision heavily influenced by Sonya's counsel. His confession leads him to a Siberian prison, where he begins to experience the first stirrings of genuine remorse, marking the early stages of his spiritual and emotional redemption. Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment is a profound exploration of man's capacity for evil and the possibility of redemption. Through Raskolnikov's journey, the novel scrutinizes moral dilemmas and the psychological burdens of sin, ultimately affirming the redemptive power of human connection and spiritual rebirth. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.